Hello, and welcome to Sobercast, where we provide AA speaker meetings and workshops in podcast format. We're an ad-free podcast, and if you enjoy listening, please help us be self-supporting by visiting Sobercast.com, look for the donate link, and drop a dollar or two into our virtual basket. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Have a great day.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Road to Recovery group of Alcoholics Anonymous. My name is Andrew. I am an alcoholic. Could everyone please turn off your mobile phones or switch them to a silent profile, and please try to keep disruptions to a minimum. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other, that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution. Does not wish to engage in any controversy. Neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. This is an open meeting of Alcoholics Anonymous. In view of our singleness of purpose, we respectfully ask that share and be confined to alcoholics. And when discussing our problems, we confine ourselves to those problems as they relate to alcoholism. There may be visitors here who are unfamiliar with our tradition of anonymity. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio and television. This tradition is a constant reminder that personal ambition has no place in AA. We are sure that anonymity is the greatest safeguard Alcoholics Anonymous can ever have. We therefore seek your cooperation in protecting the anonymity of our members at the public level. The format of tonight's meeting will be 3 10-minute speakers, followed by a fourth speaker until approximately 8:30. The meeting will then be open for sharing from the floor and close at 9 o'clock. Can we have a moment's silence to remember Tradition 5? Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the alcoholic who still suffers. Thank you, everyone. I would now like to introduce tonight's final speaker, Patrick.
Hi, everyone. I'm Pat. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Pat.
Sober since the 5th of November 2000. 4,170 days without any booze, pills, powders, potions or lotions. Nothing mind-altering except for Starbucks coffee and Pall Mall cigarettes. Nothing. I'm drunk on life today. I'm an effect-produced seeker. Driving down the motorway, coming here, cruising along, at 130. Now, when I said that, who heard me say 130 mile an hour? 130 kilometres an hour. Cruising, behaving myself. I love the effect produced by alcohol. But after 20 years of drinking it, it flatlined. There was nothing left in it for me no more. I used to complain at my working men's club. You are watering down the brandy. I'm asking for Stella and you're giving me Heineken. Flatlined. I think the worst place an alcoholic can ever be, drinking, is not when it doesn't keep going down and it's not giving you so much as it used to, like it did in 1980, in 82, in 85, in 89. When I loved it so much, but in the early 90s it started going down, so I had to drink more, as if I had a choice. Once I engaged the phenomenal craving, all bets were off anyway. But I'm drinking more to see if I can get back the old memories of the past that the book talks about. Recapture. To see if I can kickstart the party. The 80s were good. I wouldn't swap the 80s for nothing. It was the best experience of my life. And then the wheels fell off. I started drinking in 1980, and in about 92, 93, the wheels started to fall off. And I'm sat there drinking booze, and I'm not really happy. But I've got to drink it. I used to say things like, I'm fat, and alcohol is my problem. My sponsor said to me, alcohol has never been your problem. It has always, without exception, been your solution to life. He said, because you see, when you get sober, that's your problem. Not being drunk. He says, your problem is being sober. And without these 12 steps practically implemented into your life, you will be sober and miserable. He said, that's not the point of Alcoholics Anonymous. He says, you never got saved from drowning in the sea to be kicked to death on the beach. You see, someone shared about the terror, frustration, bewilderment and despair. And it says in our big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, unhappy drinkers who read this page will understand. Well, I understand terror, frustration, bewilderment and despair as an unhappy thinker in Alcoholics Anonymous, sober for over 3.5 years, going out of my ever-loving mind. And I'm doing 9 meetings a week, being sponsored, got a couple of sponsees, doing loads of service work, as if trying to outrun my ism, alcoholism. I never really had someone in my corner that knew what they were doing. And that's no disrespect to the first two people that sponsored me in London. I'm from London, now live in Dundee, Scotland. And I found myself at a loose end down here 2 years ago. Thanks for asking me to speak, Wayne. And Wayne asked me to do the 10-minute share. I really enjoyed it. I love enthusiastic groups. But the point is, I found myself in June 2004, 3 years and 8 months sober in Alcoholics Anonymous. Not a happy chappy. I'm sober, but I'm not really happy. And I can't see that I'm edging my way towards the door sober. In May 2003, 13 months before that, I met one of the wellest, sickest people I've ever met in Alcoholics Anonymous. And I knew that he knew that I was in trouble. And he knew that, and I knew that. And he said to me one day, he says, you know what, Pat? This was May 2003, 13 months before June 2004, when I finally surrendered. Not to alcohol. I surrendered booze at the door when I first walked in. I surrendered the idea of a drink when I first walked in November 2000. I get it up here and I get it in here, that I can't drink safely, just like Dr. Silkworth says. I heard people in London say, don't drink no matter what. Well, I'm inclined to be a bit rebellious and defiant when I'm having a bad day. Don't drink. You can't drink no matter what. And if I'm having a bad day, I'm going to show you I can drink. But this guy said to me, you can't drink safely. Just like Silkworth says. It didn't stir up the defiance and rebellion. It was a very matter-of-fact statement. Alcoholics cannot drink safely. My experience for 20 years was, damn Silkworth, you've got me. You've got me. For the first time in my life, someone has said something that means something here. He bypassed this and he went straight into my heart and soul. I can't drink safely. And I'm screwed now. And I met these guys, two of them. They told me that, took me through the doctor's opinion. And I said, I've been reading this doctor's opinion for 2.5 years and it's never talked to me the way you have just talked to me about your relationship of alcoholism to the doctor's opinion. I needed someone to take me through this book, not give me the book. Tell me to read it and tell me what you think, because my head's screwed anyway. I need to be shown, helped, nurtured. And this is why I needed two people, both in my corner at the same time. In May 2003, I met these guys and they knew it. They knew I was in trouble, but I still had to sit there thinking, okay, you got me, I can't drink safely. Well, what's my problem now? Being sober. People in London said to me, don't drink no matter what. Keep it simple. Easy does it. First things first. I would say, absolutely. Yep, no problem, I got you, I'll get you. But inside I'm screaming, but you don't understand. If I don't drink, something bad's going to happen to me. I'm going to be sober all the time. Week after week, month after month, year after year, decade after decade, sober. Not getting a break from myself. And myself is the problem, because I'm overly self-involved. I'm going to be sober all the time. And quite frankly, I'm not grateful to be sober. I have forgotten whence I came from when I first walked in the doors. I'm not doing the drill that you guys appear to be doing here as outlined. I'm doing something, but it's not the drill. I'm searching and seeking and not quite finding what I'm looking for, but I'm still getting in the doors. I'm still doing something. I'm still getting those symptoms on page 52. I think you call them the bedevilments. I mean, the right words in there, isn't it? The bedevilments. I was in trouble. And for 13 months, I entertained the idea that these guys could help me. I actively participated with them in fellowship of the Spirit. I went to America and met them. I've done workshops with them. You see, what I hadn't done, and what I couldn't do, and what I didn't know how to do, was how to surrender to life sober. You see, I got it when I walked through the door. Booze has got me mastered. That's the first part of step one. But the second part, I thought I could manage my life sober. I thought I could quote an idea of God and it come real for me. You see, that was 90% of my problem. That 10%, that drinking, all those related symptoms of drink driving, domestic violence, being locked up, not going to work. Going to work, I mean, sometimes on a Saturday night, they really wanted you to come in, so they'd take you in any condition as long as you could stand up. And I'm not going to tell you what I used to do, but don't get on a train again. We were all right. That was the old days. Things were a lot stricter now. But I surrendered unconsciously in June 2004 to life sober. Because I rang my sponsor. I said, this is stupid. This is stupid. I said, the job's gone after 18 years. The house has gone after 15 years. She's gone. I'm in a worse condition now. 3 years later, I'm sober than I was when I was drinking. What's wrong? And he set me on a course of action for the next 6 months that was to make me, you mentioned it, rocketed into a fourth dimension. And it was a new surrender. And if I was to sit down and have coffee with you today and tell you what I'd done for that 6 months, you would say, you're out of your mind. I had to be out of my mind to do it. No sane person would do it. So it fitted perfectly. It fitted perfectly. But accepting I was out of my mind sober, I went on this course of action. And this December 2004, I broke right through and I had a profound experience that was to give me such an awakening that I went, I'm here for the rest of my life. I can't wait. What's next? What have we got to do? I am grateful to be sober. I am happy to be sober. I've gone through the steps for the fourth time. I have done the fifth step for the fourth time. I said to my sponsor, as he outlined the fourth step on how we could do it, that you've got this down here wrong. And he said, no, you've got it down wrong. You've done it 3 times already and it hasn't worked. I want you to change some things according to the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous so that you can get what the fifth step is going to offer you. You obviously haven't got it, so therefore you're missing something. You're doing something wrong. That's what I was told in London, AA, you can't do nothing wrong. He says, well, I beg to differ. He says, you're doing something wrong. You are not getting what AA's got to offer. So you need to let go of an old idea and bring in a new idea and do something different. That was a new concept to me. You see, I didn't understand that when you stop drinking, if you're an alcoholic of my type, your ism goes underground. It goes underground and it leaks out in different ways. And I started engaging in harmful behaviour sober. I didn't quite turn into a workaholic. I wasn't that sick. Workaholic? You've got to be joking. No, not workaholic, but I had all sorts of other things running in my life that weren't good for me. And little by little by little, as I went through the steps for the next 6 months, in December 2004, I took off and I had a great time. It's been now, what, some 7, 8 years later? I don't know, who counts? All I know is I'm 4,170 days without a drink or any mind or mood or any chemical. That's a miracle. I hung around long enough in Alcoholics Anonymous until I could find one or two people that knew really what was wrong with me sober. We know you've got a problem with drink, Pat, which has always been your solution. But you're sober now. Your problem's a living problem. We need these 12 steps in your life so that you can be living happy, joyous and free. So that I don't experience the terror, frustration, bewilderment and despair sober. I'm glad I've got an obsessive mind. As my sponsor said to me, he said, I'm going to need that focus, that obsessive focus. Take it off of her and put it on AA because you're going to need it. And he says, that will save you. Because I don't want to drink again. But the problem is, making my mind up never worked, did it? It never worked. I made my mind up to go in the red line, just to have two. 6 hours later, I come out, I had two gallons. I never knew how to stop because I couldn't. I was powerless. I'm so grateful to meet groups like this that know what the big book's all about, old timers that know what they're doing, because I've been in treatment. Up the road here, we passed it on the way down, a place called Western Supermere. I've been in treatment. I had 8 weeks there. She was lovely. Oh, well, there's a few over here that know what I'm talking about. She was lovely. I'd done the first 5 steps in there. They weren't AA. I didn't get AA's promises. It's just another experience I can share now when someone walks through the door and says, I've done treatment 3 times. It don't stick. So, yep, I'll get you. You know, all my mistakes become an opportunity to help someone that walks through the door. Someone that's been in AA for a while and is making the same mistake. Oh yeah, I'll get you. Oh yeah. Someone called me a liar 2 years ago. I went to my sponsor, I don't like that. He says, what are you going to do about it? I said, I don't know. He says, here's what you do. And he sent me to go and get legal advice and sought legal advice and challenge that, and it cost them £34,000. I have learned to stand up for myself because I have morals and integrity today, and I won't be walked all over like a doormat. I think that's important. I think it's very important to have a sponsor that's got 48 years of sobriety. Tommy M. from St. Petersburg is my sponsor. I love that man as if he's a father. He guided me 18 months ago, just before the World Convention in San Antonio, Texas. He says, you get down and see your father before you come to San Antonio for this World Convention. I says, why is that, Tommy? He says, I've been reading your Step 10 and 11 every single night for the last 3 months. He says, I don't think your dad's got long to go. I says, ah, he's an old war horse, he'll be all right. He says, just do it. So I went down there, see me old man, made sure he was good, everything was okay. We'd been working on him for the last 4.5 years between me and my dad, because I had some stuff to clear up with him, some unresolved issues, but it was getting to a point where we were very good with each other. And I went to San Antonio and I come back and he passed away. It's as if they see something that I can't see. But I'm willing to take advice and direction today based on having a relationship with someone in my life who knows more about me than I do. And all he's done is he's taken a few steps with me, took a 5th step, listened to me, watched me. He's a good listener. He will remind me of things that happened 3 and 4 years ago that I've forgotten about, but he will remind me where I come from so that I don't forget, because I have a selective memory. You see, it's good listening to my sponsor because I don't listen to me. I say, that's not a good idea, and I go and do it. And then I go, oh, that was stupid. And then I go and do it again. I've got to be really careful with me sober. As I say, I spent my first 4 years in Alcoholics Anonymous in London. I had that breakthrough in December 2004, and it took me to Scotland. And I never knew what a resentment was. Where's Bert? Where's old Bert? I was having a chat with Bert earlier, having a right laugh with him. Here he is. I never knew what a resentment was until I stood at a meeting in Motherwell, Scotland, and says, I'm Pat, I'm an alcoholic, with my accent. And I was born in 1966. Half the room went like that and glazed over and just went, another one of them. Well, I was born in 1962, but I thought I'd say 66 just to stir them up a little bit. I never knew what a resentment was until half of them wouldn't speak to me after. But that's okay. That's okay. My sponsor loves giving me resentments. He just loves saying things like, well, how's that working for you, Sparky? Click! I rang him up one night. There's a lovely one here. You are no longer alone. I says, Tommy, I feel lonely. He says, what, with a head like yours? I don't think so. Click. I need that type of sponsorship. Stroking my ego and telling me, there, never mind, it'll get better, don't work for me, because it don't get better. It gets worse. And it gets worse. And it gets worse sober. I need a right good boot up the backside, followed, after I've taken that action, by a nice pat on the back. Not a pat on the back, which enables me to go, whew, that was close, I nearly did it. I nearly did what he suggested. I need to boot up the arse, do the work, do the actions, and then report back. How do you feel now, Sparky? Great, this is good. That's what it's all about, he says. I love the 12th step. I love getting around this country. We're on a road trip at the moment. It's the Easter holidays. And we came down to Yorkshire last night for the last two nights. Done some step 9 and 12 work there. I was in and out of town like a ghost. And I've got some family there. They know I've been there. Some of them still don't want to see me. That's fine. But I'm like a ghost. He's been. He's gone. You see, I'm a ghost to them now. They don't rattle in my wardrobe in the middle of the night. I show up and I'm willing to be pleasant and polite and courteous, and how can I be of service? And if they don't want to sit down and break bread, that's fine. I'm gone. But I tell you what, they're not rattling in my wardrobe tonight. They won't be bothering my conscience. I've done some really good ninth step work with some lovely people, and there's still a couple outstanding with some lovely people. I understand. I was an animal drinking. There is nothing good about my story. We were stood in my nephew's bar. Just 24 hours ago, I walked in and I'm having a chat with my nephew. And this bloke is sitting there and he's looking at me. And I've noticed him looking at me. I remember you, he says, from 12 years ago. And I looked at him and I thought, oh God, another night step. I don't know who you are. He says, you're that Cockney basket, ain't you? I went, well, yeah, but how do you know me? He says, everyone knows you over here, but ashore in Bradford. He said, we all know, you're that ex-train driver. Well, you're that train driver. Is that ex-train driver now? Ex. Wherever I go, I left a wake, and I caused chaos. And today, I will still cause a little bit of chaos in a pleasant way. You will always know I've been around. My enthusiasm is great. I love it. And so, my enthusiasm only disturbs miserable people. wet blankets and nags. I can't help that. Listen, I'm high on life. I've got such a great life in front of me that I just can't wait to sit back and put my feet up and think about how it would have went. My sponsor says, I'll see you in August. I said, but Tommy, you're making coffee for 4,000 people at the Florida State Convention. You don't need me. He says, I've got a broom for you to hold. Be there. So I thought, okay. Well, we might as well go to Florida in August to the Florida State Convention again, because I've got a broom to hold. He's got a meeting for me to run. So I thought, well, if we're going to go over there in August, we may as well start in Las Vegas, see our old friend Bob Darrell. Been to Scotland a few times. They kicked the top off the bee's nest there. He's done a great job. Pop off to Denver, Colorado. Pop into Des Moines, Iowa. See my old friend from London Underground who I used to work with. Spend 9 days with him. Have some fun. See if I can 12-step him. I don't think he's ready yet. He keeps taking the bullets out the gun. And go to Chicago for 3 days. See some old friends there that I met there. Pop down to Nashville, Tennessee. See some more AA people. Pop off to Southern Pines, North Carolina. See some more AA people. And we'll end up in St. Petersburg, Florida for 9 days at the Florida State Convention with 3 sponsees, 1 Al-Anon and 1 Alateen. And we'll have a right old hoot. That's what it's about. The same drill that we're doing here. Dundee, down to Yorkshire, down to Plymouth, up to London, see some family, do the business, Road to Recovery, Tuesday night, Greenwich. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Fellowship of the Spirit, my old sponsor at a workshop. Sunday, straight up the highway, back by 11 o'clock and go, well, what happened there for 12 days, darling? She'll say, I don't know. I'll say, I'll let you know in 3 weeks' time as well. But the first person I'll be calling when I get back will be my sponsor. Hey, sponsor, 6 o'clock there, isn't it? So yeah, I said, we had a great 12 days. I'll put it in my wrap-up tonight. Click. He only wants to know not how it went. He asked me one question. Okay, so you've been on the road for 12 days, you met lots of people. Tell me what you didn't like. He hasn't got time for the 98% or the 97% that I did like. He wants to know about the 2 or 3% that really got to me. And that keeps our phone call down to about 5 or 10 minutes, rather than talking for 45 minutes about what a great time I've had, because it's all about me still, isn't it? He knows that. He's only interested in what I didn't like. So if you're a newcomer here tonight, or if you're struggling sober, get this program and this way of life at the centre of your life and all the wonderful stuff around it comes. Because my obsession is, my great obsession is, or was, is I want to be normal. I just want to have a normal life where I can kick back, get the sky, put the rugby league on, watch Man United get beat, and have a right old chuckle and take the piss out of my brother, who's a Man United supporter. No, he says. He says, you behave yourself and go on that 12th step, because in the last few weeks, my life has got very comfortable and he's kicked it up a little bit for me. He says, get down to a wet house. I want to see you in a wet house looking for some drunks to work with. And 5 weeks ago, this guy walked in and he says, hi, my name's Bill Watson. I think I'm an alcoholic. What he said and what we heard was two different things. I thought he said Bill Wilson. I did. I looked at my sponsor and he looked at me and I went, we've got one. And he's 5 weeks sober today and he's 62 and we can't wait to get to work with him again. He's having a great time and my sponsor's up there making sure that he doesn't turn around and cause too much chaos. But that has worked lovely. My home group is the Dundee Beginners Group. If any of yourself find yourself stuck in Scotland, we're only 60 miles north of Edinburgh or 80 miles south of Aberdeen or 90 miles northeast of Glasgow. It's a small place, easy to get around. So if you ever find yourself in Scotland, we'd love to have one of you come and share our home group. We're a big book meeting. We go through the big book page by page by page. We're going through it for the second time. First 103 pages only. We'll leave them Al-Anon chapters to Margaret. They're great chapters, but we like the programme of action. You know, the first 103 pages. Action, action, action. Not into thinking. My old sponsor said the other day, he says, I'll tell you what, he says, I had a programme of thinking for a programme of action. I said, that's why I've got you busy, Slick, so that you don't have no time to think. Because the old saying is, these doers don't think, but thinkers don't do. So in that concept, he's an action-orientated person like myself, and I love getting around, and I love doing the drill. And I hope that I can get back up through Yorkshire safely next time round and maybe sit down and break bread with them two lovely people. I'm not holding my breath with one of them, but maybe the other. Great to be back in Plymouth. Wayne, thanks for asking me this year. I made Wayne smile today. I think I'm doing all right. Look, he's just done it again. He does smile. Thanks for asking me this year, and thanks for letting me be here.
Thanks for listening. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Sobercast is ad-free, and we'd like your help in order to keep it that way. So if you'd like to help us be self-supporting by pledging a dollar or two a month, visit Sobercast.com and look for the donate links. Thank you very much.